Thank you. If there's any youth still here, I was supposed to announce it was okay to go. Sorry, I think they've all gone. Excellent. Joe's going to speak to us now, so let's just pray for Joe. If you'd like to reach out a hand, pray God's blessing upon her. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us all now. Speak through Joe's words. Use the hours of study that she's put into preparing this and open the eyes of our hearts and our minds to hear your truth. Amen.
Amen. Yes, hours of study, but also I was watching TV with my nephew the other week, and we were watching Netflix. It wasn't my choice of programme. If it had been my choice of programme, it would have been reruns of Poldark. But it was his choice of programme, 14-year-old. Exterminate. Okay, what is that TV programme? Doctor Who, that's right. Okay, so there we were watching Doctor Who. And to be honest with you, I haven't watched Doctor Who since the 70s. Tom Baker. Right? Okay. So I was completely out of tune. I didn't know what was going on, but most of you probably know Doctor Who. He's a Time Lord, and he gets into a TARDIS, which looks like a blue telephone box, and he travels through time and space, and he saves the world. He's very amazing. And he's been, rejuvenated? What is it? Regenerated. Thank you. Over the years, so he's come back as different people. We were watching this program. Now, I was just jumping in where it was, and I didn't really know what was going on. And it turns out that the episode was called Journey's End, and it was the end of Series 4, Episode 13. It was the end of an entire series. So I was watching it, trying to gather all the threads of what was happening, because they kept referring to other things that had happened in the past, and even prophecies from Dalek Kane. So it was all very exciting. And I finally, by the end of the episode, understood what was happening. And that made me think of Christmas, because so often we start Christmas and we learn about the birth of Jesus, and we sort of jump into the story there. But what we need to do is realize that there's a backstory. There's a whole backstory, and the birth of Jesus is sort of near the end of the series. We need to go back nearer to the beginning. And so that's what we're doing today with Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 6. And you might, Isaiah chapter 9, you might want to look in your Bibles, because I'm going to be sort of looking through it. We're going to be traveling with our Time Lord. and the title for today's talk is From Darkness to Light. We're going to be looking at journeys through this season of Advent. And this is the first journey, the journey from darkness to light, Isaiah chapter 9. Now, Isaiah was a favorite among the book clubs during Jesus' day. Jesus quoted from Isaiah more than any other book of the Old Testament. And Isaiah is often called the evangelist of the Old Testament, because the first 39 books of Isaiah are the books of judgment, and the second 27 are called the books of comfort. So it's like a mini Bible if you read Isaiah. Another commentator I read said, Isaiah makes your head hurt. But I'll try not to do that to you today. Okay. So, Isaiah was a prophet who lived 700 years before the birth of Christ. And he was a real person, and he lived in a real place. And I've got a map that's going to come up in a minute. And he lived in the kingdom of Judah. Now, if you look here, you can see that the nation of Israel had had a civil war and was divided into two different kingdoms, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And Isaiah lived in Judah. And at that time, the time of Isaiah chapter 9, there was a king on the throne. He was only in his 20s, and he was really godless. He didn't have any fear of God. He was a really awful king. And at that time, the kingdom of Assyria, if you look at the top corner, the Assyrian Empire, that was a really violent empire. And it was taking over great swaths of that land. And so they had just come in down into Israel, up at the top, near the Lake of Galilee. Can you see the Lake of Galilee near the top? The bigger lake, not the little titchy one. the bigger lake there. So they had come in there and they had annexed part of Israel. And the people of Judah were starting to get really terrified because they could see these hordes of Assyrians were coming down and they were petrified. And Isaiah was prophesying to this King Ahaz down in the southern kingdom, and he was saying, put your trust in the Lord. Do not be afraid of the enemy. But what did King Ahaz do? He made a pact with the enemy to try and stop them invading. He made a pact with the enemy. And the nation of the kingdom of Judah things turn desperate after that. They descend into darkness. People start consulting the occult and mediums. And there's hopelessness and absolute fear in the nation. And Isaiah chapter 8 ends with this frightening picture. The last verse of chapter 8. They will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. And that's where it ends. And then chapter 9 begins with the word nevertheless. And what I really love about this is that they haven't done anything different, but God is a God of the nevertheless. No matter how black it is, no matter how far you've gone, God is always there. And with that word, there's a glimmer of hope. Something changes with Isaiah, and he sees a vision. And the first thing he sees, that is, Galilee of the Gentiles is going to be honored. Last week, we had a sermon about Peter, didn't we? And Peter had that vision of the sheet with all the unclean things in it. And after that, he goes and preaches to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. But here, back in Isaiah, we see that there's already going to be a promise for the Gentiles. That's really, really exciting. I have one more very exciting thing to tell you. I looked up Assyria in Wikipedia, and it talks about Assyrian Christians. And Assyria was one of the first nations to come to Christ in the first to the third century after the death of Christ. That is amazing that God has compassion on the enemies of the people of Israel. And then, verse 2, Isaiah starts to sing a song. And he's sort of singing a song over Israel. And the song is very famous. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You're very glad I didn't sing it to you. But we know it from Handel's Messiah. Handel gets all the credit, but Isaiah wrote the lyrics. And then Isaiah goes on, and if you're looking at your Bibles, I'm just going to summarize it. Verses 3 and 5, Isaiah sings this dawn chorus over the people. And he spells out hope for Isaiah's generation. And this is the hope. Distress is going to be turned into joy. Defeat is going to be turned into plunder. Oppression is going to be turned into freedom. And there's going to be lasting peace. Now, this was not an individual salvation. This was going to be salvation for the whole nation of Judah. Light is going to come into the darkness of their society and of their politics. And the way this good stuff is all going to happen is in the next few verses. We could sing it. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, there is a historical fulfillment to this prophecy. Prophecy can be given and then it can have its fulfillment at various times through history. And at this time in history, there was a historical fulfillment. Bad King Ahaz, who was being judged for his disobedience, is going to be replaced by good King Hezekiah, who in fact did avert the invasion of the Assyrians. So this prophecy was for their current national crisis. And we can be sure God is interested in politics and how leaders rule. Just the other week, there was a huge political change in Zimbabwe, wasn't there? And I know many people here in this church have been praying for that. It's really good to pray for nations and leaders. The Bible says that we should do that. And I've got a slide here of a country that shows people walking in darkness, both literally and spiritually. North Korea, you can see there. This is a photo obviously taken at night. And this is a country in the world where to be a Christian means instant imprisonment. massive persecution. The philosopher Plato said, "We can easily forgive a child who's afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light." And that is the case in North Korea. So what is our vision for this nation? Do we even have a vision for this nation? Do we have hope that things can change? Absolutely, we do. The prophecy in Isaiah did not just apply to the politics of ancient Israel. It wasn't just a one-off application. Let's fast forward, get in our TARDIS, Time Lord, and go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. You don't need to turn to it. Here we can see that Isaiah's prophecy has a messianic fulfillment. Matthew writes, "Jesus left Nazareth and went and lived in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah had said." So God's plan is for a messianic ruler unlike any other world ruler. "For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given." A child is born. He is going to be born of the flesh. He's going to be 100% human. "And to us a son is given." He's going to be divine. He's given by God. He's God's son. "And he is the light which is going to overcome the darkness." And the darkness the New Testament talks about is the darkness of sin. In 2010, I went to Tibet, and I've got a slide here of people who are literally walking in darkness. And I've got a slide here of people who are literally walking in darkness. And these are Tibetans, and they believe that to get to heaven, you need to walk, prostrate yourself on the ground, and make a pilgrimage from your hometown to the temple in Lhasa. And this is how they walk. They throw themselves on their knees, prostrate with their face on the floor, get up, stand up, and do it all again, all the way to Lhasa. Hundreds of miles, some of them. Tibetans are a huge province in China. And they're trying to get themselves to heaven under their own steam. Who's going to tell these people that they don't need to punish themselves for their sins? Jesus has already paid the price on the cross for our salvation. His death on the cross was punishment enough. Jesus must have been thinking of the Isaiah prophecy when he says in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We're going to be starting an Alpha course in the spring. I'm going to make a plug for it now. Because Alpha is a brilliant way to invite people to come and hear about the light of the world so that they don't have to walk in darkness anymore. They can have light in their lives. So please think about who you can invite to Alpha. As I said, Isaiah's prophecy was a time of national distress. And I don't need to tell you where the darkness is in our own nation. You can just turn on your TV for that. There is so much distress. Desmond Tutu, who was Archbishop in South Africa during the time of apartheid, said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness." And I hope that as Christians, we have hope for our nation. We're not doom and gloom. We believe that God is going to change things, and we act like he's going to change things as well. Let's be a people of hope. But there's also darkness in our personal lives, in our personal worlds. There are broken relationships, financial worries, addictions, illness, loneliness, heartache, and pain. Someone once said to me when I was sharing my own struggles, she said to me, "Everyone has secret sorrows." And the more I do pastoral work, the more I think that that's probably true. But there is hope. One of the songs that we sing at the moment is this lovely song, and it has been playing on my mind all weekend. "Lord, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things as you do." Just like Isaiah had vision in the middle of darkness, we can be people of vision and hope. John 1, verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What a vision of hope. So I'm going to just look at hope, and hope is Jesus. And there was an amazing bit in that chapter 9, verse 6, which helps us to look to the Lord, who is the giver of life. And it says, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is called Wonderful Counselor. He is full of supernatural wisdom, and he has purposes for our lives, and they are good. If you need direction today, he is a trustworthy guide. He is your wonderful counselor. He is called Mighty God. Jesus is powerful, and he frees those who are living in fear of death. Through his death on the cross, he is your rescuer. He is called Everlasting Father. He loves us endlessly, and his love is eternal. He offers you security. If you're feeling vulnerable or weak, fall back into the everlasting arms of the Father. He is called Prince of Peace. He was the one perfect man. He was whole. He was complete. He had no hang-ups. He was perfect. And he was full of favor with God. And so if you feel far from God today, come to Jesus, be reconciled to God, and know the peace of forgiveness. I've got two testimonies I want to read to you that are more personal, not to me, but from the New Wine magazine. New Wine is amazing. I live off it all year. It's fantastic. And there were two testimonies in here that I thought were really, really good and really spoke about light and darkness and hope. And so this is from someone who says, this time last year, I was severely depressed and suicidal. I had moved back in with my parents and quit my job and was incredibly anxious about coming to New Wine. I struggled to go to meetings and I slept a lot. One evening, I jokingly said to my friends that we should pray for my depression. And as they did, I found myself laughing as I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Over the past year, I've got better and started a new job. I'm still on medication, but my story of recovery started at New Wine, and it's wonderful to be back in a new light. And here's another one. After losing my husband 2 years ago, I have been wandering in the wilderness, feeling like an orphan, abandoned by God, thinking that he loves everyone except me. This week, I have stepped back into my Heavenly Father's arms, leaning into him and inviting him to meet me, fill me, comfort me, love me, hear me, and provide all I need to walk through this devastating and heart-wrenching loss. I no longer feel alone, and I have my first glimmers of hope that I will get through this with him. As we start our Advent season, we remember that Jesus entered into our dark world and brought us light. So we need to ask for vision. Let's ask for vision to see things as God sees them, despite all the darkness around. And there's one final word of hope from Isaiah, this time chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines on you. I found this great video that I hope will work, and it starts off talking about the prophecies of the Old Testament, and then it goes into the light of Jesus. So just sit back and enjoy.
Darkness. Not a glimpse of light could be found. Sure, there was the occasional spark lit by noble men who screamed for change into the night sky, but like a candle lit in the December wind, the glimmer of hope that it provided was soon snuffed out. Vanished. Gone. Never to return. Just a memory orally communicated to the masses, passed down from grandfather to father to son to child. Patiently, our ancestors waited for something more than the small flame that had been fanned by the great men of old as they tried to sustain it, but couldn't. For years, time was their greatest adversary. Eternity stood still, but time kept moving. Darkness kept living, breathing, preying on the weak as the weak prayed for change. Some incapable of rendering unto Caesar that which he said was owed. Hopeless, their wounds painful, the roots deep, but in her womb, life. He whose stripes would eradicate the scars that have been painted on human flesh by the artists of destruction. The living, breathing image of God was here, here to trade joy for pain, confidence for shame, to formally serve death with death. Caesar, your taxes are taxing for the king who designed and outlined the earth's axis. There isn't a chamber in this natural world we know as the universe that can conceal this life. No man can stop the power of God. Now imagine that same beautiful power sent to this obscure, grotesque world to save you, to save me from the caligamous ways that we adopted at birth. Birth, his magnificent entrance came through birth. Born in a manger, born of a virgin, our bright morning star has arrived. The beginning and the ending woven together seamlessly in a newborn baby. The people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Dwellers in a land of death shade, light has shone upon them. The light of the world, and his name is Jesus.